Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Meehan, and I hope all your trails are happy until we talk again later from WRCO-FM in Richland Center. News This Hour is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's 47 degrees with just a hint of sunshine at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Supreme Court hears arguments this morning on Colorado's attempt to kick Donald Trump off the 2024 presidential ballot. The state using the 14th Amendment provision barring anyone who commits insurrection from running for public office. Five U.S. Marines aboard a helicopter that went down during a stormy weather in the mountains outside San Diego have now been confirmed dead. Secretary of State Antony Blinken headed back to the U.S. after having failed to secure a ceasefire in the Middle East. Here's ABC's James Longman.
Despite growing pressure to accept a deal to bring home Israel's remaining hostages, Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected a Hamas ceasefire proposal. He called their conditions delusional. Hamas called for the withdrawal of all Israeli troops from Gaza over a 4.5-month ceasefire. Over three phases, Hamas would release all hostages, with Israel exchanging prisoners.
The strong job market still strong. Numbers considered a proxy for layoffs. The Labor Department says the number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits fell again last week. This is ABC News. It's another case of American tourists being targeted overseas.
A day after visiting a nightclub and taking some shots, neither Anthony Grigsby nor his girlfriend felt well. The following day, Grigsby found Rachel Villarreal on the floor of their hotel room.
I turned her over and her eyes were rolling back.
At the hospital,
her kidneys were shutting down.
She spent days on a ventilator in intensive care. A drug screening found traces of methanol and ecstasy in her system, but Grigsby insists that he and his girlfriend didn't take any drugs, that they were slipped into their drinks. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
That happened in Mexico. Two women from Kentucky now say they were sexually assaulted when they were drugged in the Bahamas. Two people have been arrested in that incident. Another presidential campaign coming to an end. Democrat Marianne Williamson dropping out after only hitting single digits in the primaries in South Carolina and Nevada. And it's the first new permanent flavor for Coke in years, Coca-Cola Spiced. The company says consumers are asking for spicier food and drinks. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink. The Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Just call them at 649-7469.
No two people are alike, and no two funerals are the same either. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Our goal is always to walk with you while listening carefully to make sure the process is one of love, healing, and life celebration. We are here to help and support you, be it pre-planning or in a time of need. Call us anytime at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center and Muscadet.
If your driveway or parking lot is looking tired and in need of some maintenance, the best choice is Wiscoat of Lone Rock. Wiscoat, local people committed to the local area and committed to the best customer service possible. Using the best products and techniques, Wiscoat will clean, edge, patch, seal cracks, and apply seal coating. Call now for your free estimate and get your job scheduled for next spring. 608-354-7690. 608-354-7690. Visit Wiscoat.com or check Facebook for Wiscoat. Go to Blown Rock.
Today, a high of 55 with a few scattered rain showers and a thunderstorm possible late. Southeast to south winds at 12 to 22. Tonight, scattered showers early, maybe a thunderstorm and a low of 36. Friday, partly to mostly cloudy and breezy, a high of 43. Toward the weekend, Saturday 37 and Sunday 37. Right now, winds around 6 miles per hour. And after a low of 40, we're at 47 degrees. Today's morning show is next.
Hello, this is Added Touch Floral on Main Street. Let us help make your Valentine's special this year with a beautifully arranged bouquet by Ashley and Samantha. We also have candy bouquets, stuffed animals, a large selection of wines, balloons, and candles. Give us a call at 647-2319 or order directly on our website at addedtouchfloral.com. Don't be that guy who forgot Valentine's Day and order early to enter our $250 giveaway to Open Season, JJ Walsh, or Added Touch Floral. Check our Facebook page. We look forward to making this day special for your Valentine.
Need help finding a great Valentine's Day gift? This is Angie, here to remind you that at J.J. Walsh Jewelers, we strive to make it as easy as possible. We have jewelry at every price point, and we're eager to make your Valentine's Day one to remember. From diamond stud earrings and stunning fashion jewelry to all different kinds of love-inspired designs, all waiting for you to pick out today. Even better, from now until the 14th, spin the wheel and get a percentage off your purchase. Ladies, don't forget to stop in at J.J. Walsh Jewelers and put together a wish list while we clean and check your jewelry for free. JJ Walsh Jewelers, Downtown Richland Center.
The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is this weekend at the Richland Center Community Center. Friday 3 to 8, Saturday 8 to 3. The PRSA Gun Show is recognized as a quality event with up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Boy Scouts will have concessions. Admission is $5 with 12 and under free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association looks forward to seeing you Friday and Saturday at the PRSA Spring Gun Show at the Community Center in Richland Center.
On our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, we have some good news, some big news to share with you as we bring on Richland Center Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner back to the show. Well, a lot has happened since the last time you were on, I think, Jason.
Yeah, it was kind of a momentous week this week, and so it's good to be back with you to talk about some of those things and answer any questions that you can come up with, Phil.
Okay, we'll try. The weather has been so nice. It's interesting. I've talked to some area coaches, which I do a lot of with sports, but those that are classroom teachers talking about how the students are a little squirrely. I think us as adults get a little squirrely when the weather gets this nice.
Oh, yeah, it feels pretty good. I think I shared it on the radio because it's one of my fond childhood memories, but I just love the spring weather and then seeing the young cattle or the cattle that have been locked up in the barn and they've got their old heavy coats on and they come out in the spring and they do these dances and, you know, buck and bronco out in the pasture. It's so fun to watch. So that's a fond childhood memory of mine.
Yeah, mine too. That's awesome. Well, the other night, we were privy to some information after the meeting about some real good news for Richland Center. We wanted to kind of start talking about the panorama development.
Sure.
And there's some news in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am sure the community is well aware of Panorama Estates. It's the apartment complex development out across from the Richland UW campus. And, you know, that's been in the works, I think, probably 2016, 2017, when they started on building one. And it was always intended for there to be two more buildings for a total of three. And so shortly after I came on as the economic development director for the area, we started working with the developer to try to get building two to go. And man, we've been working on that for, you know, good 3.5 years probably now, solid. And it ebb and flows, right? Because you work on it and you try to get something to come to a head and get to the point where there could be a decision made, and then you figure out what you were working on didn't work or wasn't going to work for either party, you know, so the city or the developer. So really, Tuesday night was a culmination of a lot of years of work. And if you go back to the beginning, like I said, it's 27 or 2018. And again, I've been working on it since I started. So, you know, close to 4 years. So what happened on Tuesday night is the council did authorize the development incentive package, which would go to support the construction of buildings 2 and 3, kind of successively. So they would be doing both of them in kind of the same time period. And it's going to bring 92 new apartment units that are, you know, their market rate. They're very good quality units, a little bit of change from building 1. But it's bringing 92 units to Richland Center into a place where the housing market and the need for apartments and places for people to stay has just been a very, very high level need.
That is significant for employers in the area and for everyone, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the number of stories, and I know the mayor shared this, and if you talk with any council member, I hear it in my office, the number of stories that you get about people that have been looking, you know, employers sharing with me, we would look for part-time staff that we need here to stay in Richland Center, and they can't find any place. So, I mean, it has affected a lot of people in Richland Center, and it's stopped growth, right? Population growth. And I know there's different philosophies on how much population growth you want, but we need some of it, right? So like all of the demographics show that our population is aging, and that's not a phenomenon specific to Richland County. It's happening all over the country. And so we need, and those people retire, right? As we age, we retire. And so then that puts a crunch on the workforce. And so we just need to be actively pursuing adding individuals to our community, and our greatest asset is our people. So yeah, it's something that's been a really big need for employers, for philanthropic things that happen in town, volunteerism. One of the things that we've covered before is that every individual that is in your community that's got a job, that's participating in the local economy, the amount of money that they make is usually cycled through your economy 3 times at least in a year. So let's say somebody's making $40,000. That means it's a $120,000 injection into your local economy, because you're exchanging those dollars back and forth between businesses in the community. So super important.
Yeah, it is. Now, you mentioned that the two buildings might be a little bit different. The apartments, I guess, would be a little bit different than building 1.
Yeah, so they've added some architectural features that it creates a different front facade on them, where it's hard to describe, but they're putting jogs in the walls, right? And by doing that, it allows the developer to build decks on that are guarded by these projected walls on the outside, so that when a person is in their apartment unit, they can come out to their deck on the outside of the building and you can't see any of your next door neighbors. So that's one of the things, makes the outside of the building more attractive, and it makes living in the building a lot nicer and more private.
I've always thought what a great view it must be from up there, because it's certainly beautiful all the seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a very nice spot. There's a lot of nice spots in Richland Center and southwest Wisconsin. We got these hills, and you get up on the side hill a little bit, and you usually get a beautiful view.
We do. I know that there was a request for a tax incremental district, and that went through the other night as well?
Yeah, so that's part of the development incentive, and so both myself and Keith Dahl from Ehlers, which is the municipal finance consultant that we used, talked about what tax incremental financing is. And so that's where the funding for the development incentive is coming from. It's a tax incremental district. So basically what that does is it creates a property area that you actually draw a border around and say the properties inside of that zone or district, the state authorizes the municipality to capture 100% of the property tax generated inside of that district. And so it's not old property tax, it's only new property tax that's generated from new development in that district. And so in this case, the two proposed buildings are running, I think it was close to right around $17 million. And so the district captures all the new tax revenue that comes from $17 million of new construction. And we capture that into the future for 20 years. And so then you look at that cash flow stream that's created by capturing that future tax revenue, and we use that to try to incentivize developers to build. And, you know, a lot of people get concerned, well, you're trying to make developers rich or they're going to get rich. And that's why we use the company Ehlers as a municipal financial advisor who knows about these projects all over the place and does a very thorough financial analysis and says, look, if it wasn't for the investment by the municipality through these TIF funds, then this project is not going to happen because the developer cannot get the return they need to make it a worthwhile investment.
Will work begin then later this year?
Our hope is that I'd like to see it frost out, right? But, you know, yesterday I had a couple of different meetings again with, with the executive developer himself, and then I had meetings with our city attorney and our administrator. We're now down in the details of making sure the development agreement gets drafted properly and that it captures all of the elements that have been talked about in the financial incentive. So that's where we're at. We don't expect any hiccups, but it does take some time to go back and forth with that legal work and make sure that, you know, we've got everything buttoned down. So we're hopeful in the next 30 to 60 days that the final development agreement will be before the council and finance committee for their final approval. And at that point, that's when it's a firm contract. So, yeah, we're hopeful that that creates a timeline where there's some construction happening this year, definitely in the summer.
Local contractor, or will you know that?
Great question. I do not know. I know that it's not efficient for a developer to bring contractors from a long ways away, but there's also, you know, a scale there that the local contractors have to have in order to be able to stay on the timeline that's necessary to build a building of that size. So I'm sure they'll try to engage local contractors as much as they can. And but like I said, there's a lot going into that. And at this point, I don't know that they even have any of them identified.
Same driveway, I presume. They just kind of extend it then? Or
that's correct. Yeah, there's it actually... the road that goes up to Panorama Building 1 will not change at all. That stays exactly like it is. And as you go up the road, there will be the first building was at the very top of the development area. So the next building they build will be on the right-hand side of the road as you go up the road. And then the third building will be on the left-hand side of the road as you go up it. So, yeah, it's the same roadway. The infrastructure was put in for building one. So we're finally getting to utilize that and hook up to the utilities that were built into the road and into the property at the point that they did building one.
Okay. Yeah, so building one will be the furthest back then, and
that's
other two
correct.
Will be in front.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, that's good to hear some news on that. The other big news that I noted when I was reading the minutes of the council meeting is the land acquisition in the city of Richland Center, and that's exciting news, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a project, again, I think, as actually the mayor and I were recounting shortly after the mayor was elected and I gained my position in economic development, we were having conversations with the property owner saying, hey, we'd really like to see development revitalized there. And I say revitalized because the redevelopment of Orange Street has been something that the city has been working on through the Redevelopment Authority. The former chair was Keith Bailing, and there's a group on the Redevelopment Authority that have been working on this for a long, long time. Into the, you know, probably mid-90s is when a lot of that happened. And a lot of their work is what actually allowed for Highway 14 to be rerouted from down what we call Main Street now to the bypass, which now runs by the Quick Trip and the Phoenix Center. So that the work that we were able to move forward just on Tuesday was work that had begun way back there, you know, in the 90s. So we even have conceptual plans of the use of that property that shows that there should be, for example, a hotel beside the Phoenix Center. So that was plans that the city council had reviewed, the redevelopment authority had reviewed, but they just never came to fruition. And so things change, the economy changes. We finally had development of the dialysis center and the pharmacy there beside Phoenix Center. And then another lot, two lots down, we had the TechCom building, which is the Westby Credit Union, the TechCom Internet, Genuintel, and Wacker Chiropractic is there. So those were lots that were in the plans for a long, long time. So one of the things that didn't happen, right, was hotel development and other residential development. And so we had a group of people really start to work on this again, and that property across the street from the Phoenix Center, there on the corner of Orange and Court, you know, became available, and it fits into the long-range plan that we've been working on since the 90s. So it was a very good move on behalf of the city, and it does take city investment at this point to do development. I think we've covered that before. Glad to talk about it again, and if you want to.
So. Sure. Well, you got to spend money to get money back, don't you?
You do, and the challenge is it used to be that municipalities probably weren't doing much investment at all on behalf of the development. So, you know, they would pay their staff and things like that and get roads in and things, roads and sewer and water and electric. But most of the time, the developer was paying for the costs of doing that. And that has really changed over the last 20 years in a way that requires the municipality to participate on a much higher level. So the municipality has to figure out how to fund new streets, the sewer and the water and the electric, because without the city's support, again, it's too expensive for a developer to build on those sites. So buying the property is an investment by the city. Now, if things work out really well, the city will sell the land back to a developer. But if the business models don't work without participation of the city, then the city ends up doing things like a TIF district and things like that to provide financial support so that the developments can occur.
So it's the cities to kind of sell as they see fit in terms of, is it first come, first serve, or do they have kind of an idea in mind?
Great question. So again, I was referring to the redevelopment authority and different plans that had been developed over the years. As a matter of fact, we have a recent plan that came from a process that that involved my office working with the Environmental Protection Agency. So my office started working with the Environmental Protection Agency in 2022, and through a program, a technical assistance program, through the Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalization, we were received in-kind work from a consulting company, a firm called ICF. So that came to us in two phases. The support came in two phases. So there was a market analysis for that specific property and the Orange Street corridor that was conducted and completed in April of 2023. That in-kind grant that my office worked with the EPA and the DNR was involved to get was a $60,000 grant. And so what they did is they're looking at the condition of the properties there, because Orange Street has historically had some brownfield contamination issues. So they're looking at the condition of the property, and then they're looking at all the businesses and the things that are happening in our community and saying, hey, can the property support it? What do you have to watch out for there? And then number two, can the community support what types of businesses, right? What's happening? What does the community need? So that was phase one of the study. Phase two of the study wrapped up just in December of this year, last year, 23, December 23. That was a $45,000 study that we received, the City of Richland Center received, for no cost, that provided a conceptual plan. So where they actually came in and they looked at the different property there, they then considered the market study they had previously done, and they came up with some architectural drawings and had a community planner draw out what might look good on the site if the city were able to acquire it or if they were able to work with the property owner to put something there. And they came back with that study. The Planning Commission has seen that. I know that we've had it on the website. And that study, they came back and said, hey, you could support, we think you could support a hotel. We think that you could support definitely some more commercial business space. We think you could support housing on that site. And then in past plans, they had identified maybe making part of Court or Jefferson like a street parkway. So a portion of the street would be closed off and it would be pedestrian use only or food trucks or the farmer's market or. And that's built into this plan too, so that there would be potentially a portion of Jefferson Street that would be closed off and used as a pedestrian parkway for different street events to take place. So the plan, like I said, I believe it's on the website in a Planning Commission packet, but we were able to use those two plans that we received and then talk to the Planning Commission, the City Finance Committee, and the council and say, look, there's been a lot of money invested in grants to help us plan. This really looks like a good path forward, and the next step looks like property acquisition.
We've talked many times on the program here this year about, not only housing, but we need hotel space. You know, if you're going to want people to come to your town for whatever reason, they need a place to stay. So, but a hotel is not a new idea for that area.
Jason. No, that's the main point. I mean, I know that different groups of the past have looked at trying to do another hotel in town for, I mean, I think those initial studies were maybe the early 2000s. And so I've actually seen records in the files where there's been different conversations taking place with different hoteliers, and they just have never happened. So it's not a new concept at all. It has been something that has been shown to be likely viable in the community. Of course, there's a lot of things that have to go into making sure, you know, there's some very specific studies that take place. As a matter of fact, the council did authorize a further study on that and to prove that that the community could support it. So, there's so much to happen between a plan, a conceptual plan like this, and actually happening. But we're taking the necessary steps to try to make sure that we end up with more development in that downtown area, which should revitalize it, which should support all of our businesses on Court and Main and Orange Street. So we're definitely taking right steps here.
That's exciting. I mean, if you could wave a magic wand and, you know, you've got a wedding venue at the Phoenix Center and then, you know, you've got places for people to stay then. But also being right on Court Street, hopefully that would create some walking for people to head downtown and things like that.
That's exactly what these planners do. The ISCF planning agency that the EPA contract with, that's their job, is to try to figure out what traffic patterns, what current businesses are there. Again, what could the market support, and how do we create traffic patterns and new structures amongst the existing structures to continue to kind of, I like to say, rebuilding the foundation of the center of the city. And absolutely, that's part of the things they would look at, like how do people access it? What else is nearby? Can they, you know, safely get up the street? And there's future studies that we'll have to do, like what happens to traffic patterns if some of these things happen and we end up with housing and commercial business down there. But ICF and the EPA, again, through their assistance, provided a lot of the preliminary legwork so that we have a very good idea about what should be possible there.
Sounds like, you know, you've got step one. Now you need an investor, but it's got to be attractive for somebody coming in, I would think.
Well, that's what we're hoping, and that's part of my office's responsibility. And you know, Planning Commission has been very active on that. You know, there's some people that put in a lot of volunteer time to help try to come up with these strategies and participate in these EPA meetings and to make sure that we're trying to identify investors that will help with some of the vision that's been created.
Good news. Well, we'll have more coming up here in a moment with Jason Glassbrenner. We'll take time out on the morning show and have more here in a moment from WRCO and WRCE.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul at the Prescription Center providing an update on our move to Sextonville Road. Chris and I wish to thank all who have offered to help with the move. Vitesnics and contractors have worked many long, hard hours to turn an empty space into an exceptional location for a pharmacy within 45 days. We thank them for their effort. We will be moving Friday, February 9th through 11th. The pharmacy will be closed on Friday the 9th. Phones will be switched to the new location during the day on Friday, and messages may be lost. Please do not call on the 9th. As we move the computers, we will not have access to your records until Monday the 12th. No one may pick up prescriptions from the 9th to the 11th. We are humbled by the support and planning for minimal downtime. We will keep the same phone number, exceptional service, just a new spot.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Gunderson Boscobel Area Hospital and Clinics proudly welcomes family nurse practitioner Karen Lomas to our growing primary care team. With local roots and a diverse nursing background, Karen is passionate about helping patients reach their health goals through personalized care and support. Visits with Karen include wellness exams, women's health, acute illnesses, and management of chronic medical conditions. To schedule an appointment with Karen, call Gunderson Boscobel today.
Need help finding a great Valentine's Day gift? This is Angie, here to remind you that at J.J. Walsh Jewelers, we strive to make it as easy as possible. We have jewelry at every price point, and we're eager to make your Valentine's Day one to remember. From diamond stud earrings and stunning fashion jewelry to all different kinds of love-inspired designs, all waiting for you to pick out today. Even better, from now until the 14th, spin the wheel and get a percentage off your purchase. Ladies, don't forget to stop in at J.J. Walsh Jewelers and put together a wish list while we clean and check your jewelry for free. J.J. Walsh Jewelers, downtown Richland Center.
Don't miss the annual Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 24th from 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. Bring in your deer head to be entered for a chance to win a gun. Enjoy interesting vendors, bucket and gun raffles, a trail camera photo contest. Sheds are welcome but will not be scored. Come enjoy food and beverages. Admission is just $5, kids 12 and under free. Pre-register Friday night, February 23rd from 5 until 9, or Saturday from 9 until noon. For more information, phone 475-4963. The Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 24th at the Richland Center Community Center.
AgriAmerica features the largest collection of agricultural podcasts, including popular titles such as...
Hi, this is Rob Sharkey, a fifth-generation farmer from Illinois. If you want to hear stories about agriculture, make sure you tune in to Shark Farmer Podcast today on AgriAmerica.
Hi, I'm Darren Hefty. Head over to AgriAmerica's podcast directory for the latest episode of the Ag PhD radio show.
Visit AgriAmerica's podcast directory at agriamerica.com/podcasts. agriamerica.com/podcasts.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
Our morning show community conversation continues with Richland Center Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner on our monthly visit here, talking about some good things. Spring is in the air. hopefully anyway, I guess. And there's a lot of big news in Richland Center. And looking at some of the things coming up here, I know we're going to talk more about it on the morning show later this month, but there's some opportunities for small businesses to learn some more information and maybe some things to help them plan. And that's exciting news.
In the past, it was maybe last June, I believe it was, we had what's called a Small Business Development Center workshop here in Richland Center. It was actually held at the campus, and that was hosted again by SBDC, Small Business Development Center. And Nora Rowenschmidt is the area director for the Small Business Development Center. So I was actually in a meeting with Nora this week that maybe we can talk about a little bit. But Nora is a professional business consultant who serves our area for any individual that has an idea that they'd like to talk about in business. And you can get a hold of her by just Googling, Southwest Wisconsin Small Business Development Center. Or you're welcome to contact my office, and I can put you in direct contact with her. I usually do a connection email. So they are experts at taking your napkin idea. Maybe you don't even have it on a napkin yet. maybe it's just an idea in your mind. And call them up. They do free consulting. It does not cost you anything. We're paying taxes for it, of course, through our state taxes. But doesn't cost you anything, and you connect with her, you set up appointments, and she'll say, okay, what's your idea? Here's a business plan format that you should be looking at. And they'll ask you questions, but you still have to put in the hard work. And I truly believe that if a small business entrepreneur uses that service, their likelihood of succeeding is much higher. And it's not just new businesses. They'll help with business expansion. They'll help with business succession plans. And so I really think the service is excellent. I refer people there, when anybody asks and they're at kind of beginning stages and I'm not able to provide as much time as I'd like to, I say, hey, Nora is the pro on this. Please get to that Small Business Development Center. So they are hosting another seminar, a workshop in Finnamore. You can find information on that, I'm sure, on Facebook and on the SBD website. I apologize, I don't have the exact date in my mind at the moment. But it is coming up in March in Finnamore.
You mentioned you met with her recently. Do you do that periodically then?
Yeah, Nora and I have conversations periodically. And like I said, I refer people to her that need assistance with business plans. So the reason we were in a meeting together this week was actually on Tuesday. There was what's called a SEDS meeting here in Richland Center at the Phoenix Center. So SEDS stands for Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. And that meeting was a meeting that was conducted by Southwestern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, which is I think it's even federally authorized planning commission that oversees a 5-county region. It is overseeing Richland, Grant, Iowa, Lafayette, and Greene counties. They help us. They help Richland County, Candace Pesch there, Marty, the board members are all aware of Southwestern Region Planning, but they're responsible for doing the SED strategy for our 5-county region. So a comprehensive economic development plan for our 5-county region. So they put together this Tuesday a workshop where a bunch of us involved in economic development from throughout the county, were some, business operators, county board members, city officials, different planning agencies, other economic development agents came in to talk about regional economic development strategy. And so Nora was there. Ela Cacti from Wisconsin WDC was there too. Both of those individuals are very key resources to me in my office and to economic development in the area.
Good. So if you go to Nora, you've got a business idea, do they critique it, like saying, oh, maybe that's not a good idea?
Or, oh, absolutely.
Or they encourage you if it is? Or
absolutely. Yeah. They'll do both, right? They'll say, great idea, but you need to refine your idea here, or have you thought about this? They'll help you put together a financial plan or financial performa for your idea. So, you know, that involves everything from the employee cost to different taxes you might have to consider, or insurances you might have to consider, business costs. How much are you going to set? I'm sure they would help you with margins on your product to say, well, how much do you expect if you do this task or sell this widget? How much margin do you expect to sell? So that they will help you build out these things, financial performance, to prove on paper that realistically, if your goals are realistic, you can expect to succeed, or you have a good chance of succeeding, or your idea is just not, you know, quite refined enough, and you're taking really high risk and you're likely to lose a lot of money.
Yes, right. So, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Some other action the other night, there was more on the wayfinding sign project. Do you have an update on that, Jason?
Yeah. So we have been working on that a long time. We've talked about it here. I think even the last time I was on, you and I talked about it a little bit, and I was saying, hey, I'm hopeful that we finally have these bids. We went out for bids in November on 11/9, actually, it was released, and we had four sign manufacturing companies provide bids for new wayfinding signs that will be on Highway 14, the Orange Street area, some different locations in town, and that will redo our city entrance signs. And they're being redone. There are some wayfinding signs now, but they're faded. They've done their duty. They've lived their life, and they just don't look good anymore. And so we needed to do that. It's part of creating a very, you know, welcoming community, offering directions to those people that might be visiting. It points out parks and the fairground and library, different things like that. So that happened on the council meeting and the finance meeting as well on Tuesday night, where the council and the finance committee approved the expenditure of money for new wayfinding signs and new city entrance signs. So that's part of a project, again, I started working on, and when I first started as well in 2020, we were in a marketing strategy planning effort with the county and the city. And so this is actually an extension of that process that we started back in 2020.
So signs that are currently up would be replaced then? Is everything pretty much going to be uniform then?
Exactly. All the wayfinding signs will be uniform. So it'll have our new brand at the top, Richland Center. And then, they will all look the same throughout the throughout. Basically starts at the edge of town, right? The edge of town on 14, the edge of town on, it's on 14 both directions, east-west. So, yep, and it'll come right down through Orange Street, and all of the signs will be uniform. Of course, they'll have different destinations they'll be focused on, but yeah, it should look really good.
Direct people downtown and all around then.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Oh, that's exciting. And is that something that'll be coming up later this year then?
Yeah, actually, what we had put in the proposal is that we want the project completed no later than April 30th. So we're working right now with the winning bidder on that was Greeley Signs. And so I started conversations with Al yesterday. Hey, that bid got approved. We need to get into a meeting on, finalizing all the details and getting these things under production. So we've got a team coming together next week to talk about that and hopefully get that contract bid award signed and get them produced here.
Get it rolling.
Yeah.
Yes. I know there's some news about Los Amigos, or at least you're hopeful anyway.
Yeah. So we've talked about that before as well. So since our last time together, Phil, Los Amigos received notice that they had been tentatively approved for what's called a community development investment grant that will assist them in expanding their current location. They're on, let's see, what is that? That is the corner of Seminary and Main. Court and Main. That is the corner.
Yeah, Court.
Main.
Yep.
Yeah. So that will assist them in expanding that location further to the north. So there's a storefront building that was a clothier, I don't remember the name of it at this point, but that was there. And now that storefront is sitting empty, right? And so we've been working on that for a long time, and the Community Development Investment Grant Underwriting Committee wrote back to us in the past month and said, you're tentatively approved. We just need to get you to the, we need to get the documents completed and signed. So that's what we're waiting for, is the finalized documents. But that was really good news. I think the support there is around $200,000 to help revitalize and make that into more dining space, or more of a dining space and community gathering space that they could maybe even rent out. So
like a banquet hall or
banquet
something.
Banquet hall. There you go. Yeah. Yep. Another little banquet space. Not near as big as the Phoenix Center, but it'll be very nice. And so, I've been working with Carlos and Carolina, who, our owners there, and they're just wonderful people and have great vision and are doing things all over. So we're pretty excited. We hope to get that paperwork soon so that they can actually get underway with construction. So
good. Any other news from downtown or any businesses like that?
Wow. There's other projects that we're working on consistently. I mean, one of the three areas of my office that are really the primary focus is housing, workforce retention and attraction, and then what we call quality of life, or what I call quality of life amenities. And so we continue to work on housing. There's a lot for sale that we've had for a while that we worked with the county to get. It looks like we're going to have an offer to purchase on the next lot here for the council to consider very soon. And so that would mean that hopefully we would have another home built back down in the core of the city. It's actually a duplex site. And we're working with a developer that's purchased some land there above Allison Park that was slated at one time years ago to be a development, but it just never came to fruition. They've purchased the land now. They've done some brush clearing, and they're talking about actually moving forward with new housing there. And so we've been working with that developer to try to, you know, work on preliminary ideas and talk about how the utilities go in. So we've had a meeting with the utility guys and talked about that. So that's really good news. So we continue to work really hard on housing.
That's good news too. You have a job opening?
We do. Meaning the City of Richland Center does, yes. So it's posted on the website, and it is an administrative assistant position. And if anybody out there is interested in that, we could really use, you know, good support, good professional staff. And you would contact Ashley Oliphant, who's our city administrator. So it is posted to our website. I know that the wage is not posted there at this time because it's dependent on experience, but I do know that it's a full-time position and it comes with full benefits, and it's been posted there for a little bit. I'm not sure if the word's getting out broad enough, and so I appreciate you bringing that up. And anybody can go to the website, just type in the search bar administrative assistant, give Ashley a call, and hopefully they can get an interview set up with you so that you can move through that application process. That would be great.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about some of the things you do, but your job description is pretty broad. You know, you got a lot of things, a lot of hats that you wear.
yeah. And, you know, I think that's, it just depends what the community needs, right? And I think we covered that a little bit in the last time, and I appreciate covering it again, because everybody has a different idea when you say economic development. What is economic development? And ultimately, you can break those terms down into, you know, a focus on the goods, services, and, you know, money is exchanged within a region. That's the core of economics, goods, services, right? So how do you refine that definition and figure out what a job description is, right? Well, it's different for every single community. And there's different types of economic development. There's municipal or governmental economic development, and then there's private, sometimes nonprofit economic development. And I've found in our community the way that we've needed the most support is in the governmental side. So we're looking at policies and procedures a lot, trying to make sure they're clear and good for all the people that have ideas that they want to come to fruition. We work with the utilities all the time to, you know, talk about expansion of the city boundaries and borders and having good utilities for people. We track a lot of these grants and programs that are coming through from like the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation or the federal government. They can even come through Regional Planning Commission, different grants like that. You know, we've been looking at ordinances to make sure our ordinances are good and that they're conducive to building structures for today. And so there's literally, you know, a million things that we can be working on, working regionally, again, like I mentioned, through that comprehensive economic development. So we're gathering with other counties to say, how do we make our region more attractive? That's focused on everything from environmental conditions that we see changing to socio-political factors that we see changing. And how do we make Richland Center and the other municipalities and in our region attractive to bring in businesses that might be wanting to relocate? I mean, there is literally, you know, we probably create a list of 100 different things, but it ultimately depends on what does Richland Center in Richland County really need, you know? And so again, what we identified those are, and we've been on them since I started, is housing, workforce retention and attraction, and quality of life amenities. One example of quality of life amenities, and it could, you know, somebody else might prefer a different terminology for that, but for a long time there was a severe daycare crunch where people couldn't find care. And so early on we worked with, I think it's Sunshine Child Care, and then the child care out in Rock Bridge. Mm-hmm. And so we've been very thankful, and I had the opportunity to work with the Rock Bridge Child Care and assisted them with a community development investment grant. So that's an example of what I would call quality of life. Again, you could label it what you want, but that's very important to a community. If you don't have places, safe places for your kids to go, then how do we as parents participate in the job market sometimes, you know? So many things, Phil, so many things.
So you're always looking at the future, you know, and looking ahead at some possible grants, and then all of a sudden things start to drop and break, and I think that kind of happened a little bit this week then, too.
Oh, it did. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one thing about economic development and community development is it has to be very strongly focused on future planning. And so the kind of the cool thing about my position since it started is we probably still haven't been able to focus on future planning as much as I would like to, because there's been this pent up demand and people have ideas and they're saying, well, how do I get that? I've been trying to do this for years and I just haven't been able to get it done. And so I try to take that pent up energy and demand and say, well, let me see if I can assist you in moving your idea forward or your business expansion forward. So I've been very reactive, and so I really enjoy the opportunity to focus on long range planning of, you know, 1, 3, 5, 10. And, you know, again, some of the things that we've revitalized at this point have been in the works since the 90s. And so there was a lot of vision for that, but then there's an ebb and flow in either, you know, kind of the resources available or the people able to work on it. So sometimes it dies down. And so there's just no shortage of things today that we can do, as well as planning for the future and envisioning a future for the city of Richland Center and Richland County.
If you could snap your fingers, though, you know, obviously you get a grocery store and, you know, all these things that people probably talk to you about all the time, right?
They do. And, you know, the city, my office works on that consistently. There's other people in the city that work on that consistently. And those those conversations are not uncommon, you know, with our constituents or the people we serve, as well as people that have the idea. The challenge is, again, finding the people that have the ability to invest, finding land that's available and accessible for these things to come into, and then working together between the developer and the municipality to figure out if the business can be successful here. And so that's a lot of work. There's a lot of people involved. And when you get to different things like a grocery store and things like that, they're equally complex as what Panorama was. And we've worked on Panorama since 2017, and again in my office since 2020. So it's not that there's not work being done. It's just that it can take a long time to get all the pieces together.
So sometimes you know about some things in the background, and you kind of have to have that poker face, right? When somebody asks you.
Exactly.
Don't tip your hand.
Zip lip, you know. I mean, I do report to the city finance committee, and, you know, one of the items on my list is, you know, retail projects. Conversations continue with retail's property owners in my office. So, yeah, but it just doesn't make sense to talk about something like that and then have all the people – you know, the stories grow and they change, and all of a sudden tomorrow we're going to have this. And then, you know, people are upset in the community if it doesn't happen. And so I like to underpromise and overproduce versus, you know, overpromising and underproducing. That's not the way to go. So I like it when there's surprises in the community where, look, we finally got this to fruition. And then, you know, people start talking and saying, I heard this or that. I can go right to these papers, Phil, from our meeting the other night and say, look, these are the facts. These are the facts. So until we can get to a factual state, you know, I wish I could talk about more, but I can't in a lot of circumstances.
Well, you never know, because we had a lot to unveil today and some things that were talked about. So hopefully the next time you come see us next month, you'll have even more.
Let's keep it going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it always seems like January is kind of a slow month. Then you hit February and people are a little more optimistic, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, again, that's the just kind of our natural ebb and flow here, right? Where, you know, people look forward to getting out and out and about and moving. And, you know, you have more summer festivals than you do winter festivals or, you know, things like that. So more kayakers and bike riders and than there are snowshoers. So
that's right. Some night markets and things like that.
Exactly.
Up this year.
I mean, we had this snow here in Richland Center that they didn't have anywhere else in the state. And from what I'm hearing, we became the snowmobile mecca for the whole state for 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, well, it was better than nothing, right?
Well, and it's great. Yeah. It's great when that takes place. And we're happy to have all the people coming into Richland Center and participating in our economy and buying gas and food and staying in the hotels and the Airbnbs and visiting the coffee shops and, you know, so the restaurants, all of that stuff. So it's really good when we've got outside people and hopefully, right, some of those people visit and go, man, Richland Center and Richland County is cool. I'd like to come live there.
Sure. So, come live here or come back in the summertime and bring more friends.
Right, sure. Exactly.
Yeah. Always a good time to have you on, Jason. Thanks for coming in today.
Appreciate it, Phil. Thank you for having me, and everybody out there, take care. And if there's any way that my office can assist, just let me know.
All right. Richland Center Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner on today's morning show.
Hello, this is Added Touch Floral on Main Street. Let us help make your Valentine's special this year with a beautifully arranged bouquet by Ashley and Samantha. We also have candy bouquets, stuffed animals, a large selection of wines, balloons, and candles. Give us a call at 647-2319 or order directly on our website at addedtouchfloral.com. Don't be that guy who forgot Valentine's Day and order early to enter our $250 giveaway to Open Season, JJ Walsh, or Added Touch Floral. Check our Facebook page. We look forward to making this day special for your Valentine.
February is here and Valentine's Day is right around the corner, so love is in the air. I, Jamie Johnson, also known as Coach Johnson, would love to spread some health and hope this month. In honor of Valentine's Day being the 14th, I'll provide 14% off this month for those who place a new order with me. You can reach out on Facebook or contact me at 608-604-7751. Others took advantage of last month's offer and that group is down over 100 pounds already. Are you ready to lose weight, maintain, or add muscle? Our program can help. You know me, I love to coach. Contact Coach Johnson today, have an informed conversation, and get 14% off.
Hello, everyone. Brian from Walsh's. Some of the great buys this month include PrimeGuard Ultra Pure DEF 2.5-gallon jug is on sale at $8.99. Plus Ace Rust Stop 15-ounce spray can is 2 for $12, and Ace Premium 12-ounce can is 2 for $10. Also, Ace Basic Furnace Air Filters are still on sale. Buy three, get one free, and stop in to see these and many other products at Richland Center, Muscadet, or Ace of La Crosse. And as always, we appreciate your business.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Get ready to light up the sky this 4th of July with Sky Ink Pyro's Tax Return Presale. They're offering incredible deals at all consumer-grade fireworks. Pre-order now and get a 10% discount. This is a veteran-owned business. Secure your stash now, and they'll store your fireworks until the last week of June. It's the perfect way to turn your tax return into a dazzling display of celebration. Call or text 870-214-8247 to pre-order and snag the best deals on fireworks. Plus, for an extra splash of excitement, they're offering private shows.